this is Stephanie Potter, and you're listening to The Recovery Zone on KBOO Radio. Today, because of a scheduling, we're actually doing the show the day before it will be airing. So we're doing it, this is being recorded yesterday. And I'm going to be talking today with two people who really know a lot about the Portland water system, and they're doing a lot to protect it. Floyd Jones is with the Friends of the Reservoirs, which basically got going in 2002 when the Portland Water Bureau was trying to, or was being told it had to cover Mount Tabor's reservoirs. They blocked that, but we're back into having that be a question again, and Floyd's going to be able to talk about that. And I just want to say thanks for coming here, Floyd.
Good morning. You're welcome.
And Regna Merritt is from Oregon Wild, which used to be called the Oregon Natural Resources Council. And this organization has done a lot to help protect or to get federal protection for the Bull Run watershed, which is where we get our water. And they were able to get a big congressional law passed in 1996, and the protection was expanded in 2001. So here on the Recovery Zone, we're trying to look at how to heal our world and our society. And I think these are two people who are really active in doing that. And I'd like to just start by having maybe Regna start with, why should we actually care about Bull Run? What's so special about it?
Well, many Portland residents are familiar with the blessings of Bull Run water, but we have so many newcomers to the region who really don't know the history of the watershed and of its protections, which are fairly unique. So this is a great opportunity. Thank you for inviting us to come share our stories about past threats, successes, and future threats. Those of us who drink from the Bull Run are blessed with some of the purest drinking water in the world. When you travel outside of the country, you're made acutely aware of the value of clean drinking water. And even when you travel elsewhere in the United States, you realize how great it is to be able to come home and drink water, clean, pure water from the tap. Now, our water comes from the Bull Run, which is in the foothills of the Cascades. The Bull Run does not communicate with Mount Hood, as some people believe, but is a little protected watershed that's separate from Mount Hood. And the water makes its journey from that forest to our tap by means of this beautiful natural collection system. Rain, fog drip, and snow fall in this forested watershed. They collect in Bull Run Lake and in various tributaries to the Bull Run River. And then all this water flows into the Sandy River eventually, but not before much of it is diverted to our reservoirs and in town and right. Then to our drinking water. So since 1895, the Bull Run has provided Portland families with this safe, clean water to drink. And it's no accident that it's still so clean. It's been closed to human entry for over 100 years. Originally, when people settled in Portland, they drank from Balch Creek, which is in Forest Park, and Carruthers Creek, which comes down from OHSU. And as more people moved to the area, there was more pollution of the drinking water source, and many of them dried up. And eventually, the city was looking at pulling water from the Willamette. And at that time, they were faced with cholera and typhoid and other waterborne diseases and pollution coming from upstream. Mm. We're downstream in the Willamette Valley, so all the pollution sources upstream threaten our water. So the residents of Portland just said, we're not going to go for this. You know, they had the option then of traveling 30 miles by horseback to find a completely pristine, unpolluted watershed, and they decided this is what they would do for themselves and for future generations of Portland residents, secure a beautiful forested watershed and not allow human entry into it, because with human entry, you had human pollution, you had chemical pollution, and so you had viruses, cancer-causing elements, as we now have flowing in the Willamette River. We have cadmium and any number of the drugs that now get flushed down toilets upstream and end up in the Willamette. So we're just totally blessed to have had the activism and the foresight of of residents over 100 years ago. And so they actually went to Congress. They got a and they went to the president. President Harrison in 1892 issued a proclamation that established the Bull Run Reserve. And in 1904, U.S. Congress adopted the Trespass Act, which restricted logging, development, and other activities in the Bull Run watershed. Those were kind of tossed aside in 1977 when the Bull Run was open to commercial logging and parts of it were open to recreation.
But so, that's what your organization was able to help stop in 1996, right?
Yes, working with Dr. Joe Miller and Franklin Gerhardt and many other activists who, you know, came to demonstrate, came to speak at city council. We eventually convinced the Portland City Council to pass a resolution asking the U.S. Congress to permanently protect this watershed from human entry, human development, recreation, and logging. And so eventually, in 1996, we did pass new federal legislation and expanded those protections in 2001.
And what I'll get this little article here. Brad Yazzolino wrote an article in the Southeast Examiner, and I really liked what he wrote. It was, our existing water system is so old and sweetly low-tech that it seemingly could be from some very green future. I just really love that phrase. The idea being that this water is filtered through pine fir needles, and it just keeps being filtered. So it ends up, as you said, being incredibly clean and pure without any need of being treated. I mean, they don't find germs or bugs or filth or anything in that water.
Yeah, and not only is it restricted from human entry, but cows and other domestic animals are not allowed to enter as well. And those have proven to be the problematic organisms in other systems.
Uh-huh. And it tastes good. I mean, I don't know why people are buying so much bottled water in Portland because I love
right,
our water.
I think it's important for people to understand the story of Bull Run because then they would understand why they can drink from the tap and feel really good about the quality of the water that they're drinking. And I should say also that one of the reasons that we were able to pass the federal legislation to permanently protect the Bull Run was because we didn't want to ever have to incur the cost of an expensive filtration plant.
Uh-huh.
So it is this low-tech
source
of treatment, and it really, I think, only works in this unique situation where you don't have human waste and animal waste in the watershed. We have no confined animal feeding lots. Those have been the source, as Floy was referring to, of many problems in other big cities in this country that are filtered. And sometimes those filtration systems just don't work. So it's better to have an ounce of prevention than trying to pay for a pound of cure.
Right, a beautiful old-fashioned system that works. But what we're going through right now is there's been a recent ruling by the Environmental Protection Agency saying that we have to add to this water treatment system with something very new and very costly, a big treatment plant. And could you guys explain what this would cost and how realistic it really is and why?
Well, the costs are going to be huge because you're talking about two negative aspects from this regulation for systems like Portland. Portland's among six large systems in the country that remain unfiltered because we've gone to great lengths to protect our watershed. But this regulation would require that unfiltered systems now treat their water, build a filtration plant or some sort of treatment plant, very likely UV radiation, to treat the source water. For cryptosporidium, a problem that really doesn't exist in Bull Run and in many of the unfiltered systems because we protect our source water from the sources of crypto, which are primarily from cows and from humans. Mm-hmm. So this regulation would require that we build a treatment plant for source water, but also for systems like Portland and New York and a number of other systems around the country who, in addition to having protected source water, have engineered yet very beautiful open reservoirs in the city. So in Portland, as you know, we have three open reservoirs at Mount Tabor and two at Washington Park. And this regulation now requires, the final draft requires that we either bury the reservoirs, cover them, or treat them at the outlet. So when you look at the combined costs of building a filtration plant and or burying or treating the reservoirs, we're looking at close to $500 million. And then you have to add bonding costs onto that because there's not money, of course, in our budgets for addressing those issues. So the costs are really very huge. But the bigger costs, of course, from our perspective, are the loss, you know, of our pure, pristine drinking water and the loss of these beautiful open reservoirs.
And the source water that you're talking about, the Bull Run is the source. So they'd be treating it at the source, which is Bull Run, and they'd be treating it at the reservoirs as well.
Yes, if they don't bury the reservoirs, that's what they'd have to do is treat at the outlet of each of all five reservoirs, which presents a lot of problems in terms of location and costs. And then the negative impacts of treatment. You know, we haven't talked about that. I don't know if we're going to get to that point.
I hope so.
But there are definitely some negative impacts from the treatment plants.
Okay, just to let the KBOO listeners know, I'm talking with Regna Merritt from Oregon Wild and Floyd Jones from the Friends of the Reservoirs. And we're talking about Portland's water system and the threats that it's facing right now. And hopefully we're going to get to what we can do about it. But you were just saying, Floyd, that there's more negatives than just the expenses. And maybe you guys could go into that a little bit. I mean, I think for one thing, I would be concerned about, we might feel that we don't need to protect Bull Run anymore. And we would lose forever. I mean, logging could take over there and things like that.
That's possible. You know, if we were forced to filter our water or traditionally treat our water, a future city council could definitely say, well, why should we not allow recreation in there? Why should we not allow a development? Because now we have this super treatment. And it's been proven that watershed protection is one of the best ways to protect the quality and the quantity of drinking water.
Better than throwing a lot of chemicals in and trying to protect
Absolutely.
It that way.
Yeah.
And the EPA accepts that as well. When you read their documents, they always say source water is, protecting
right.
your source water is the best protection for watersheds.
Right.
So what's this all about?
Well, I think that this is really a one-size-fits-all national rule that should not apply to Portland. There are many systems that are polluted systems where humans live. Human sewage is in the watershed. That there are cattle there that are sources of this bug called Cryptosporidium, where they could benefit. But certainly, our system is closed. It's very well protected. We don't have those sources of these various bugs, and we will not as long as we protect the watershed.
Yeah, and if you want to look at the origin a little bit of this regulation, the development of this rule actually started about 15 years ago. There was an incident in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and that involved a state-of-the-art filtration plant, a very expensive filtration plant that failed.
Wow.
And it allowed sewage to enter the drinking water because their system is not protected. So they have sewage sources in their watershed. So for weeks, because of operator error of a state-of-the-art filtration plant, sewage was entering their drinking water. And a number of people died. But that scenario could never happen in Portland as long as we don't build that filtration plant and we don't set ourselves up for opening the watershed to sources of pollution. One of the other concerns that the Friends of the Reservoirs have about building a filtration plant up at Bull Run, as there has been a lot of interest in the region in developing a system where we're drinking blended water. So if we build a filtration plant, and the original scheme was to do that up at Powell Butte, then we could take water from the Willamette, from the Columbia, and blend it, and we'd all be drinking this polluted blended water. And
that was supposedly filtered.
Yes, filtered, but you know it's not pure, pristine water.
Not
so
the water we're drinking now.
That's right.
And to be honest, if I think about drinking water from the Columbia, my first thoughts go straight to Hanford and the nuclear waste. That's one of the biggest Superfund sites going. And how much of that is actually floating into the Columbia and coming down this way? And would that get filtered out?
Well, filtration plants can only address so many issues and so many problems. As Regna had mentioned, we have prescription drugs in our rivers and tributaries, and filtration plants don't address those things. There are only certain things that they can address. So there are just many, many reasons why we want to avoid building a treatment plant at Bull Run and or treating the open reservoirs.
And because our source is so pure, we don't have the bugs in the system that other communities have. And Floy and I have been on various panels that looked at water quality and looked at possible treatment plants. And we've heard over and over again from public health officials that there will be no measurable benefit if we were to put a expensive treatment plant in Bull Run now. We don't have a problem with illness that's related to drinking water in Portland. And so we're kind of scratching our head and say, why should our ratepayers pay millions and millions and millions of dollars to, you know, treat a problem that does not exist here? I mean, if we're going to spend that kind of money on public health, let's find a real problem and deal with it rather than one that does not exist here.
And the city is apparently going to work for a variance, but the things I've read, the city officials are basically saying, well, it's going to be an uphill fight, and we better start looking at maybe also, you know, getting a treatment system. So this variance, I mean, what would the variance do, and is that really a likely thing to happen, or is it that much of an uphill fight?
Well, there is a provision in this regulation that allows for systems to apply for what we're calling a clean water variance. But as far as we know, there's never been a circumstance in the past where a system has applied for such a variance.
And it's such a new rule.
I mean,
we're kind of would be first in line.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's right. So depending on whether or not the EPA is going to be very rigid and how they look at what they've written in the rule, where they suggest that it would be very hard for any system to demonstrate that they don't have a problem, or if they're going to be somewhat flexible. Because we think that we can clearly show right now that we're meeting their goal. They've set a standard. I believe it's like 1 in 10,000 incidents of cryptosporidium. The only time you ever see crypto in cities like Portland are in swimming pools.
Wow.
Where you have human waste. But you just never see it in drinking water. So, you know, I have to agree to a certain extent with the city's assessment that it will be an uphill battle. But if we're given a chance to demonstrate that we don't have a problem, I do believe that we can.
I think there's the political problem with the Bush administration at this point now, too. The Bush administration really doesn't like the city of Portland. We know that, you know, they've taken umbrage at the anti-war support on city council, and, you know, as demonstrated in the streets here, they don't like Portland. So with this administration, this EPA, I think it's unlikely. But we're looking at we're in 2008. How about that? We're going to have elections.
2008 is going to be great.
There's opportunity for change.
Right.
And we've got to take advantage of that. People need to remember to go vote.
So
and you know, you're voting. You're not only voting for a new president. You're voting for, you know, new leadership at the EPA, and we're hoping that there be some, you know, a little less bias there against the city in a future administration.
Right. Not trying to punish Portland, and then so what are you guys proposing then? Your organizations.
Well, we're happy to go through the process of applying for a variance. It's an uphill battle. We believe that if the EPA in this administration or another denies it, that we have a friendly congressional delegation who's helped protect Bull Run in the past. They understand how unique and wonderful a source it is and what the threats are with additional unneeded treatment. So if we're not successful with the administrative route, we will pursue the legislative route and encourage people to support those on city council who are with us in fighting the increased costs. Well, right now the entire council had voted unanimously in support of going to court to stop this originally, and then actually they passed a resolution that said we should pursue administrative and legislative remedies in the face of this onerous one-size-fits-all rule. So they've all been supportive. Commissioner Leonard is in charge of the Water Bureau right now, and so he's been the leader in defending the watershed during those last few years.
So he's going to be behind trying to get a variance for us.
Yes.
Great. Absolutely. I think that both City Council and the EPA have said, though, you know, just to let people know we're not, we have areas of concern, that the open reservoirs, the regulation does not really provide any pathway in its language for obtaining a variance for the open reservoirs at Mount Tabor and Washington Park. So, you know, I think folks in the community need to really contact City Council and contact the congressional delegation and let them know that their concerns involve both our source water and our open reservoirs, because I think the biggest battle is going to be in regard to our open reservoirs in town. There is a pathway that's outlined somewhat in the regulation for obtaining a variance for Bull Run.
For the source water.
Yes, although it's still rather onerous, and it's not a pathway that I support or that I think is necessary. I think it's going to be very costly and in some ways a setup for failure. But there is at least an outline of a pathway in the regulation.
And so Friends of the Reservoirs, like, what is your organization then working on especially right now?
Well, there's been actually a citywide group of stakeholders that have been addressing this regulation for 3 or 4 years. When Mayor Potter took office, he put together a group of stakeholders. But back during the open reservoir panel, the Friends of the Reservoirs put together a mitigation plan for our reservoirs, because at that time there was actually a draft rule that said if you didn't bury or cover your reservoirs, you could put together a mitigation plan that the state would evaluate and likely accept. So I think that's one avenue that we're going to continue to pursue, is looking at mitigation options. But, you know, what the community should know is that the EPA has really never demonstrated that they've had any concern about our open reservoirs at Mount Tabor or Washington Park, because during the course of the development of this rule since 1997, they've never required any testing of the open reservoirs. There's never been any research to suggest that water quality in open reservoirs is any less than in closed reservoirs. And even in their regulation, they cannot cite to any problems with open reservoirs. They misleadingly cite to a problem with a closed reservoir, but suggest that it involved an open reservoir.
That just must drive us crazy.
It does. It absolutely does. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be some testing of the open reservoirs that will be required now.
Testing.
Yeah. Well, there's not been any requirement for testing of open reservoirs. That's how big of an issue they've really considered it. But at the very last minute, when they released their final rule, they changed the regulation inexplicably, without any science, without any evidence, without any research being conducted.
And then what about Oregon Wild? What kinds of efforts are you working on right now, Redna?
Well, we'll be working to educate the congressional delegation about this rule. There, you know, Senator Wyden's office and Congressman Blumenauer's office are engaged right now, and we'll be keeping them abreast with the developments and helping them understand ways that they can step in and kind of correct the situation with the help of others in the delegation should we not get the variance that the city deserves.
Right. And your recommendations then for KBOO listeners right now is just to contact representatives? And
well, I think, as Floyd suggested, it's a good thing to call
join your
council
groups.
Members, or, you know, even when the elections are coming up, question candidates for city council about how they feel about Bull Run treatment, because I think it's really important. What could be more important than the purity of our drinking water? It's such an important element of our quality of life here, and it's one of the reasons that we live here is because the drinking water is so fantastic. So, and then give a call to you know, your congressional representative too, and voice support for a legislative remedy in the event that we need it.
And Blumenauer is mine, so he is pretty much behind this, it sounds like.
He's very interested in doing anything that needs to be done to protect the Bull Run.
Uh-huh.
So there's a long pathway there too, but we need to thank them for their engagement and keep them engaged.
One last little thing. I'd like to get how people could connect with you guys. And, for instance, Floyd, what's your website?
It's Friends of the Reservoir, all one word, .org. It is not currently updated, but you can go to the website, get on our distribution list, and then we'll be sending out notices as to future meetings and ways that people can be involved.
Great. And how about you, Regna?
Our website is OregonWild.org, and it's a great place for listeners to visit and sign up for our email action alerts.
Great. And actually, I was reading a lot of stuff on there, again, about just the beauty of our water system. So I think it's a really great site to go visit, and it is updated. So check it out. And any last-minute things that you think the cable listeners really should know?
It's just really important to keep our city council informed and aware, and they really do need to call city council. It's very important, because if city council doesn't think there's a large interest out there,
they're not going to go with it.
Yeah.
Okay. And especially call Randy Leonard, but
yes.
Call them all, huh?
That's right.
Okay.
They do need to call them all. But Randy's in charge.
Okay, yeah. Especially call Randy Leonard. And his phone number is 503-823-4682. That's 503-823-4682. And that's for Commissioner Randy Leonard. And you can thank him
for his efforts to protect them,
Yes, that's what we always say. Thank him for the efforts, so far.
Keep at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And just to sort of close again a little more from the Brad Yazzolino about our sweet low-tech system. It's elegant, endlessly sustainable, and as yet not corporatized. It is worth saving, a glorious engineering gift to us from the 1890s. We risk losing a frugal and graceful system whose loss we will regret 50 years after it's gone, when we find ourselves reinventing it, like streetcars, windmills on family farms, and livable neighborhoods. So I feel,
Brad, thank you for your words.
Yeah, and I just want to thank you both for being here. And I'm going to say again that this is the Recovery Zone on KB Radio. I've been speaking with Floyd Jones from Friends of the Reservoirs, and Regna Merritt, who is working with Oregon Wild. And they're both doing a tremendous amount to help protect our water system here in Portland. And hopefully everybody listening to this can pitch in and help too. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you.